Well, listen, you know that song, I'm trading my sorrows. Well, today's theme is I'm trading my filters. I'm trading my filters. So we've been talking about his rest, okay? R-E-S-T. We know how to spell that, right? We can all do it. But it's relying on God, exchanging, it's serving and trusting. Now, we're waiting on serving because we're trying to get rid of all our stuff and junk that we got to get out of our hearts so we can receive the serving part. Because we are in a season of rest. We really feel as a whole leadership team that we need to spend a good year of reorientating, resetting, coming to the Lord because he is wanting to do something fresh. We all sense this great outpouring of souls, this great outpouring from heaven on the earth. And when that happens, when there are lots of salvations, there is a lot of work to be done. And we can't be entangled in all these filters and these false perceptions and these things that rob genuine, authentic, expressive love of God, because that's all service is, right? Service is expressing out of our hearts without a sense of duty or compulsion. It's all this free flow of life and joy just flowing out. So we want to really say, God, do a fresh work in our heart. Prepare us that we can be used by you. So we talked about the 4 hours last week. This is what I want to you to keep in your tool belt, right? These 4 hours are repent, so you ask for forgiveness. You release, you forgive others, and cast out the enemy, the lies of the enemy out of your heart and your mind. You renounce, you break agreement, and you cast those things out. You receive, you're filled with the Spirit in that place where you've cast out, you're now receiving the light and the goodness of God. All that he has for you, right? There's been some amazing testimonies this week. I'm just like blown away. I'm like, God, continue to move in our hearts. Unearth these demonic realities and powers and lies in our hearts and our minds. Let us see you clearly. Let us be able to receive fully from you. Now, 2 Timothy 3 says, but understand this, thanks, that in the last days, it'll be set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. I'll tell you, a common testimony of this whole last year was, it was the hardest year we've ever experienced. I don't know about you, but man, it was a tough one. Now, it's going to start to relay a set of descriptive, I call it a prophetic description, because this was released, you know, many, many years ago. Paul saying, like, get ready. There's going to be perilous times, and this is what people are going to look like. Well, I believe we're in those times. I believe that he's saying, like, look around you. And so as we read this, it doesn't describe one person. It says these traits will be found in many people around you. For people will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered. This is that humanism thing. Lovers of money, and aroused by an inordinate, greedy desire for wealth, proud and arrogant, and contemptuous boasters. They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. They will be without natural human affection, callous, inhuman. These describes people with hardened, unfeeling hearts. Emotions don't come easily. Relentless, admitting of no truce or appeasement. They will be slanderers, false accusers, troublemakers, intemperate and loose in morals and conduct, uncontrolled and fierce haters of good. They will be treacherous, betrayers, rash, and inflated with self-conceit. This is pride. They will be lovers of sensual pleasures and vain amusements, more than and rather than lovers of God. this is where a lot of addiction stuff falls in, right? Because it's escape, it's lover of pleasure than God. For although they hold a form of piety, so a form of true religion, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. Avoid all such people, turn away from them. Now, it's saying like there'll be many who have a form of godliness, but they don't know the power because the insides of who they are not transformed and reflecting the love and power and truth of Christ. This is why we want our hearts clean and pure, cleaned out. We don't want to have this form of godliness and, hey there, Sally, praise the Lord. But inside, it's wicked, it's self-centered, it's consumed, it's arrogant. You know, we focus on the sins like adultery and stealing and things like that, but pride is, it stinks before the Lord because it's idolatry of self. It's lifting up yourself, and even if it's in the form of insecurity, pride is just a mask of that because you're just saying, I don't feel right with myself, but I'm still consumed with it. I can't get my eyes off my insecurities. This is where all manner of things come from. It's, you know, in this prophetic description, we see that self is the center of everything because they're unfamiliar with the power of God. Self instead of God. We've discussed in Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3, right? This whole process of putting off the old way and putting on the new way, putting off the old man, putting on the new man through Christ. We talked about cultivating a heavenly mindset, setting our minds on things above by the power of the Spirit, right? We can't do this. This isn't like, guys, you got to modify your behavior. No, you got to invite the Lord in and say, Holy Spirit, let's do this. I'm going to focus and meditate on the good things of God, the pure things, those things which are above. James 3:16 said, for where there's envy and selfish ambition, envy is just wanting what others have, comparing yourself to others. There will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. You want hell in your life? Focus on yourself. You want God in your life? Focus on Him and His whole heavenly kingdom. James highlights a particular practice that overcomes self and selfish ambition. It's called peacemaking. A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. James 3:18. In typical fashion, Paul alludes to a workplace, or James does. Grain harvesting, in this case, to make his point, he names several elements of peacemaking. Grieving for the harm we do others, James 4:9. Humbling ourselves, James 4:10. Refraining from slander, accusation, and judgment, James 4:11. And cultivating mercy and sincerity, James 3:17. Paul identified this heart problem in dealing with the Corinthians. I want to look at 2 Corinthians 6. It's a powerful example of what I'm talking about. Paul said, our mouth is wide open to you, Corinthians. We are hiding nothing, keeping nothing back. And our heart is expanded wide to you. There's no lack of room for you in our hearts, but you lack room in your own affections for us. By the way of return, then, do this for me. I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts to us. This describes an inner limitation in the Corinthians that was keeping people from receiving his ministry and really the truth of the Lord. Their affections were limited by inner filters. Now, filters, I was going to bring an object lesson and put on these big pink glasses, but I didn't have them. I couldn't find them. But they're these glasses you put on driving at night, and it helps you see at night. Well, couldn't find them. I wonder where they are. But filters are like perception. They like rose-colored glasses. They cause everything to change. And if someone said, that's not that color, you'd say, no, I see it right now. It is that color. And they'd be like, no, it's not that color. I'm telling you. But see, our reality, what we actually see and perceive, is affected by filters in us. I mean, you know, in bookkeeping, it's you can like set filters, or in databases, right? You set filters. I want just information from these parameters, right? And what pops out the screen is true, but it's not the whole picture. It's filters. It's portions, because you've determined it by the filters. Filters are real. They affect reality. And there's lots of filters. Like, I'm going to just mention a few, because I really feel like we have to, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit does it, because you know what? I can't point out your filters. I can't. The Holy Spirit can. And if you say, Father, help me see filters today. Help me to take those filters out so I can see things as they truly are from your perspective. You know, this is all about expectations. All about self-expectations and this place of us need to rely on the Lord. And relying on the Lord means we have to rely on His perceptions, His truth. So the first filter is self. It's relying on your own capacity, judgment, understanding, faculties, and performance, including greed and envy, which is comparison and wanting what others have, pride, insecurities. It's you are living life with yourself. There's no outward, you're not looking be outside of yourself for help or assistance or insight. You deal with it based on what you got. So the other filter, another filter is senses. You filter things by senses. You judge by outward appearance and not the heart. Again, these are physical senses. Do we remember those five? Let's see. Sight, sound, taste, smell, touch. Oh, yes! I did it. I can still remember them. I'm so glad, man. During COVID, I was shocked because I lost one of them. I was like, this is before the symptoms were out. And I went to my wife and said, Stephanie, I have a huge problem. I can't taste anything anymore. And I can breathe fine. I'm like, I don't know what to do. Maybe I need to go to the doctor. What if this lasts forever? This would be terrible. But anyway, then they came out. I was a forerunner even in that. Yeah. I got my taste back. Praise the Lord. You know, in 1 Samuel 16:7, the Lord said, like, people judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And this includes judging circumstances, right? I don't know about you, but I used to find my affirmation, whether I was in God's will or not, based on my circumstances. Well, that, my friends, is a big mistake. Like, we don't find our validation whether things are going good or bad, because as you know, if you've been a Christian very long, we experience some tough times when it comes to having to persevere and exert our muscles in the gym of life and growing in our ability to actually be Christ-like and persevere through things. So when you're going through hard times, it's not a sign that God is against you. Now, it is definitely like a preemptive thing that says, seek God. Are you doing something wrong? And so whenever I go through any kind of resistance or hardship, to be honest, I do it when I'm successful, because I want a relationship with God that is beyond my circumstances. And I want to know Him, and I want to know whether I'm His favor and His reward for obedience and listening and obeying is on my life, regardless of whether circumstances are good or bad. I want to have that kind of relationship that's not determined by all these outward senses and these filters, right? And I'll tell you what, like you look at Haman's noose, right? In with Esther, and folks, that didn't make sense. Like the whole time you're going, this is turning out really bad. The good guys are going to be killed and the bad guys are going to win. This is horrible. And then in God's masterful orchestration, everything's reversed. And you know, I've been growing a lot in this, believe me, this with this last year. COVID was 1.0 training for Sean. And then came this last year, which was 2.0. It's like, whoa, bigger devils, bigger trials, bigger steps of faith. And I'm sure there'll be a 3.0 because God, for all of us, continually brings us into greater trials, greater challenges, but not for us to fail. He brings us so that we'll humble ourselves, seek him, be teachable, and we'll grow and walk as sons and daughters of God that he can entrust with greater things of his kingdom. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Another filter is the past. I love it. Okay, let's break this down. Past can be such a filter for us. Okay, bad experiences with people or things. You get bit by a dog and now all dogs are bad. You get bit by a dog and then every time you see a dog, your heart starts racing. You're like, ah, dog. Well, that's a filter. You wouldn't normally have that aversion. You hear me? Like, it's because something bad happened. Now, some people don't realize this. When you can't realize your past filters, you are reacting out of stuff that needs to be broken over your life. You know? And we need to be believers that aren't controlled and don't have filters from things that we don't understand. The Holy Spirit's given to enlighten you to say, oh, I understand. I'm going to break that influence off my life. That's what these four R's are about. That we are pure, free individuals that aren't affected by things of the past. They're not affected by limitations of your affections or yourself. They're not affected by five senses. You are free to obey your Creator. This is intense. If you're hurt by a man, all men become bad. You just look at men and go, ah, I detest you. Like this is, I'm just vocalizing internal, you know, processes, right? Of what you may feel. It could be a man, a woman. It could be like, I was hurt by someone with red hair. And so then every time you see someone with red hair, you're like, ah! I'm looking at you only because you have red hair, but it's not anything to do with. Everyone looks around, even if there's no one with red hair. I have my rose glasses on, remember? I'm trying to be an object lesson of what it's like when you have filters. No one else sees it. Well, that was good, right? Someone outgoing betrays you. So you don't like outgoing people. You're like, yeah, they irritate me. Why do they have to be so obnoxious? And it has nothing to do with them. It has to do with your issue from your past. How about past church experiences? Oh, everyone's like, oh, yeah, I know. You know, you know, the biggest of these is fear and mistrust, right? Like, man, I was in such a doozy of a place for 12 years as a youth pastor. And, you know, it took a lot of healing, deliverance, casting things out of my heart, my mind, lies. Performance mentality was huge. I saw everything as that because I came out of a performance mentality is driven, undergirded by a fear culture. If you don't perform, you will be outcast and rejected, right? That's a fear culture. And it's driven. And you don't have to wonder whether you're in a fear culture because it is blatant. it would be like, you know, I had many times, you know, my way or the highway, babe, get out. It's not even implied. It's spoken. I mean, this is what would cause me as a newlywed, you know, because I had this wedding at the church, and because I was in a fear culture, the pastor came to me about my own wedding. I was using the church building. The next day was Sunday. And he said, if this place isn't spotless, head will roll. You know, he'd say things like coup de tête, which is in French, cut off the head. So I'm not saying it was implied. This was done like this. You leave one thing out of order. And so we were so controlled by this control that literally me and Steph went back to our apartment, changed from the wedding gown and all that after the rice was all, you know, and the cans are dragging behind the car. We got changed, and then we're like, okay, we got to go back and check on the cleaning teams. And so we dressed, we went back to the church, and we made sure that everyone and helped them with the last few bags of trash. Why? Because we didn't want our head cut off. That, folks, is so dysfunctional and wrong. And it took me years to overcome that and be healed and flee that whole performance-driven thing. And many times I blamed many people. And this is when we are darkened and we are addicted, we blame everybody for our own problems. This is what codependency is, right? And codependency is not good, by the way. When you're not wrong, but you're caused to feel wrong because someone else's issues. This is a messy web to come out of, but the Holy Spirit has been given to us to lead us and guide us in all truth and into freedom and out of all this dysfunction. That is the good news. I'm just saying that we need to open our eyes and let the Spirit speak to us and guide us in these things. I could tell you so many things. There was this youth pastor that had five kids. He was twice my age. And, you know, in this place, we used to have to dress in a suit and tie every day because we were on staff. And it was in Mass, not New Hampshire. Here you got to wear jeans and a shirt or whatever. But there we were all that way. But we had to bring a change of clothes because at any time the pastor could come in and just say, right now in the hallway, get the paintbrushes. And we're like, we drop everything and we ran into the hallway all ready to paint. Youth pastor, me, everybody. And we had to paint. And then when we didn't get it done in time, we were called slackers and sluggers. And one time, and this guy was very eccentric, very like, and he was at his desk. His veins would pop out when he talked to us and yell at us, right? And so he'd be like turning red, veins popping out in his forehead. And he would, here's this guy, youth pastor, five kids, like ex-contractor, like me, you know? And he's talking to us, and we worked our tail off all day. I don't even think we really got a full lunch even because we just scarfed it down, kept working. Because, like, as for me, my heart was, I'm going to serve the Lord. So regardless of all the, because God had me there. And I prayed, deliver me, Lord, can I leave? No, stay. How can you do this to me, Lord? In tears, I was like, God, deliver me. And he's like, no, I have called you here. There is purpose here. So I submitted my heart, and I forgave, and I released all the people that were harming me. And I said, give me a new heart, Lord God. I'm looking to you. I'm serving as unto you, Lord, with a pure heart and a good attitude. In spite of all this, so we're in the office. We work so hard all day. Like, take a less of a lunch time because we are just trying to just do everything we can to just please the Lord out of our hearts. He's sitting there and he says, you know what? I'll tell you what. We clean the closets too. Everything out of the closets, organized all back in. And he said, I'll tell you what. Get everything out of the closets. I'm going to do that same job by myself in half the time. And if I do, you'll all be docked a week pay. So, I mean, like, I'm talking intensity. So we're like the youth pastor who had been popping Rolaids like every 2 hours because of the stress in his life. Like, literally, he was in the meeting shaking, starting to cry, and I'm going, good God. And he's like, he opens the Bible to the sluggard passage and reads it to us. And then he gets so mad, he slams his hand down on the desk, and he was like a proper man that drank tea. And the tea bag was on the spoon, and he went and he slammed the spoon, and the tea bag gets ricocheted against the wall. Another repair project the next day for us. But a big stain on the wall, and we were both like, our stomachs were sick. We're sitting there like, he's crying. This grown man that, like, I didn't even have kids at that time. This guy had 5 kids. I mean, this is like, I looked at him as a veteran. Rugged contractor, like someone like Brian, you know, he had a beard, you know. And then he's like, he's crying. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And he's shaking, shoving Rolaids every 2 hours. This was terrible. But this, folks, is what a real fear culture is like, okay? Like, if you think this place is fear culture, good Lord, you got something coming. You just haven't experienced real fear culture. Because it's for real. It's words and fear and consequence. We live in a very grace-filled culture. Sometimes people challenge too grace-filled. So all kinds of stories I could tell you all about. I could probably give you all of the church abuse instances in this place. People who gave money for one thing, and then they shifted things up and used it for something else. Do you know, we've received some very big donations in the past through our whole history. And one of them was someone gave us $200,000 to buy a ministry house. If you've been around a long time, you know that we use that to buy. We bought a house in Lawrence that we used as a mission base. And then that base got sold. And when we did, we were able to buy this side with the down payment, the exact amount we profited. It was so God. But I remember at that time, I was a little scared because someone gave us $200,000. And so I went back to the person because they gave it to us for a new facility, a church, or a center-like thing. And we said, you know, we don't really have that to buy a center, so maybe we buy a house next. So I went back to that individual, and I said, hey, listen, I know you gave us this $200,000, but we're not thinking of buying what you really gave us it for to buy, and we're wondering, would you let us use it to buy a house instead as a ministry center, or should we give that back to you? That was a rough one. And they said, oh, don't worry about it, Sean. No, whatever you find, feel best, what best suits the ministry, you do it. This was back in, like, goodness, I wish Steph was here. She would know. But she's, or it was, I think it was in Mitchell. When was Washington Street? High Street. That was it was 2000, something like that. It was about 20 years ago. And so, but that's what I'm talking about is this church used things for one thing that was given for something else. And I'm saying that kind of stuff breeds trust. And, you know, we would encourage some of those people because one of the generous donors back then that gave to this church also gave to our ministry later. But, you know, I encouraged them. I said, listen, you'll never go wrong if your heart is toward the Lord. If you put your faith in him and not the abuses, misuses, and all that things of those people will be accountable. They will stand before God. But if you'll trust the Lord, he's always going to honor everything you do, everything you give. So we could talk a lot about that forever, but how about past family experiences? You grew up in a home with a real harsh father. this person I was just talking about, you know, one of the main reasons they were like this, this leader, is because they grew up with their dad smacking them across the head, dumbbell, you idiot, you can't do anything. You start gaining insight into how powerful filters are. And so since then, you know, I have a heart of compassion. I have no unforgiveness for all the terrible things that we had to endure. Because really, God had me there. I wasn't like dysfunctional as in stained because I was being abused. I was stained because God spoke to me. And many of you are in positions like that, a bad job, a certain relationship, whatever, where God's saying, no, listen, I want you to obey me. This isn't about what you want, it's what I want, and I have a plan in this. So how about, like, you know, uncaring? We talk a lot about father wound, which causes you to either be apathetic and not care, or it causes you to be driven. And I will prove that I have worth, right? That's that performance-driven kind of life. You're going to prove your worth. I'll prove my dad was wrong. But then also there's, you know, there's mother wounds. There's places where mothers don't provide the nurture that is required, and so there's an animosity toward that. All of these family situations where you don't even know what a real family is because you were only part of one. Right? So it affects you. And the point of this whole message is that we got to let the Holy Spirit reveal these areas so they can be broken off our life and that we're not in bondage to live by them and be moved by them. We're surrendered to walk in the freedom of God to be who He's called us to be. We don't have these other things pushing us and making us do things because we're free. We're free indeed. Okay, symptoms like, you know, you have hardness of heart or lack of emotions. That's not just your personality. Some people are much more emotive than others. But I'm telling you, when you can't feel, there is something there, folks. God's created us to, regardless of personality makeup, okay, because that is a true thing, right? We're all made differently with different gift sets and personalities. But when you feel something's wrong in you or you have a very hard time feeling emotion, sharing emotion, there's something there. Ask the Lord to heal you. Ask Him to show you. He wants you to be able to feel life and life abundantly, which means in all aspects, you're able to feel and receive and enjoy the fullness of life. Addictions. You know, with addictions, this filter of addictions, it's like a filter that we need to be delivered from, right? It's lack of self-awareness, blame shifting. It's you see it. If you ever meet someone and everything's your problem, everything's reversed. Like, I'm doing drugs, but it's your problem that you're annoyed by it, even though I'm stealing from you. And destroying you and inconveniencing you. It's your problem. You should feel bad. Don't you feel bad for me? That's blame shifting. You know, codependency. That's where we're trapped in these relationships, and especially by people who have a good heart and want to help get trapped into these situations. Lovers of pleasure, this root of wanting pleasure and escape rather than saying, Lord, I need you to fill that area of need. So I want to kind of end with this scripture in 1 Corinthians 2. It talks about the mind of Christ. As for myself, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony and the evidence or mystery and secret of God concerning what He's done through Christ for salvation of men. In lofty words of eloquence or human philosophy and wisdom. For I resolve to know nothing. See, this is the posture of someone turning and exchanging all the humanism for God's stuff. I will not lean on my own understanding, my intellect, I resolve to know nothing. to be acquainted with nothing, to make a display of the knowledge of nothing, and to be conscious of nothing among you except Christ Jesus, the Messiah and him crucified. And I was in a, And I was in, passed into the state of weakness and fear, dread and great trembling after I'd come among you. And my language and my message were not set forth in persuasive, enticing, and plausible words of wisdom, but they were in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power, a proof by the Spirit and power of God, operating on me and stirring in the minds of my hearers the most holy emotions, and thus persuading them. So that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, human philosophy, but in the power of God. See, this is the antidote to that scripture we read about in the last days, people will be like this. When we turn away from our humanism and turn away from ourself and we turn to God and we ask for his Spirit to transform us, the Holy Spirit is the antidote. Verse 6, yet when we were among the full-grown, spiritually mature Christians who are ripe with understanding, we do impart a higher wisdom, the knowledge of the divine plan previously hidden. But it is indeed not a wisdom of this present age, or this world, nor of the leaders and rulers of this age, who are being brought to nothing and are doomed to pass away. But rather, what we are setting forth is a wisdom of God once hidden from human understanding, and now revealed to us by God. That wisdom which God devised and decreed before the ages for our glorification. Whoa! He hid this and now revealed it so we would be glorified. Look at God's heart. He's like, not that I'd be glorified, that you'd be glorified. And I'd be lifted up because I'm the mastermind behind that. I'm the creator. It's all my work. I think that's amazing. What are we that God is mindful of us? Wow. Wow. None of the rulers of this age perceived or recognized or understood this. It wasn't only hidden from humans, it was hidden from all creation. God says, otherwise, if they had understood, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Think about this whole plan God had. This is what I'm talking about, not leaning on your own understanding, not judging things by outer appearance. Literally, he had all creation, all the demons in hell, all the principalities and powers in the air confounded. They actually crucified Christ, thinking that it was going to be, yes, the end to God. Ha ha. And then God's like, surprise, I have the power to resurrect. The tomb breaks open. He raises from the dead and then goes down to hell and bashes evil to pieces. And then he raises up, goes and sits in his glory and begins to release authority upon the sons of men. Woo! That's us. He did it. God defied the plans, the humanism, all of the plans of created order. On the contrary, Scripture says, verse 9, what eye has not seen and ear has not heard and has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared, made, and keeps ready for those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying him and gratefully, say that word together, gratefully, recognizing the benefits he's bestowed. Yet to us God has unveiled and revealed them by and through his Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches diligently, exploring, examining everything, even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are amazing. Wow. The divine counsels and things hidden beyond man's scrutiny. Oh, wow. Can you imagine God's like, oh, you proud, arrogant criticizers, you'll never touch this. It's beyond your recognition. It's hidden from humanism. For what person perceives, knows, and understands what passes through a man's thoughts, except by the man's own spirit within him? Just so no one discerns, comes to know or comprehend the thoughts of God, except by the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit, who is from God, has been given to us that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. This is talking about you. But the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God. I got to say that once more, because this is what the Corinthians were doing. They were limiting receiving from Paul by their affections. Listen to this. But the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God. For they are folly, meaningful nonsense to him. He is incapable of knowing them. You guys get this? Like, without the Holy Spirit, we are incapable of knowing anything of God's kingdom, of progressively recognizing, understanding, or becoming better acquainted with God, because they are spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. But the spiritual man tries all things. He examines, investigates, inquires into, questions, and discerns all things, yet is himself to be put on trial and judged by no one. The spiritual man, who is informed by the Holy Spirit, is free. He can read the meaning of everything, but no one can properly discern or appraise or get an insight into him. For who has known or understood the mind, the counsels, and purposes of the Lord, so as to guide and instruct him? Meaning we can't instruct the Lord and give him knowledge. But we have the mind of Christ, the Messiah, and hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes in his heart. Notice, God has feelings. We can experience healthy feelings. We need the Holy Spirit. So here we're going to close up and we're going to get to business with God, folks. John 14:26. But the comforter of the Holy Spirit, the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, the standby. Guys, you got to learn the names and the roles of the Holy Spirit, because he has promised to be right next to you and do all these things, to counsel you, to help you, to intercede, go before you, to advocate, which means like a lawyer. He stands and says, no way, wait a minute, my client is not that way. He's not saying this. We deserve this. He advocates. He fights in behalf of you. He's the strengthener. You feel weak? Holy Spirit's there. No problem. I got this. It's my expertise. I will pour out my strength that raised Christ from the dead on you. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me, Christ said, to act in my behalf. He will teach you all things. You have a hard time learning or grasping something? Say, Holy Spirit, can you help me? This is your role. This is your assignment to me. You don't have to even try to convince him and persuade him. Holy Spirit's like, oh, I got it. I'm an expert in this. I will teach you. I will show you how to understand this. And he will cause you to recall, will remind you, bring you into remembrance everything I've told you. This has to do with really helping you see the filters in your heart that are keeping you from seeing things through Christ's eyes. So let's ask, let's invite the Holy Spirit to do some work in our heart today. You remember the four R's, right? Forgive, ask forgiveness, forgive others, break the lies in the agreement with the enemy, and receive from God, right? So what's the first one? Repent, which means what? Ask for what? Forgiveness. Then what? No, we're still on forgiveness. I know, just change it. It doesn't make sense. I get it. Somehow in the years, these slides have been kind of changed. We've asked for forgiveness, and then what do we have to do when we're forgiven? Forgive others, right? We repent, and then we release. Repent, release. So we ask for forgiveness, and then we forgive others that have wronged us. If you've been forgiven, you have to forgive others, right? The Lord said. So first is what? Which is? Ask for forgiveness. What's the second one? Release, forgive others. Forgive. Ask for forgiveness, forgive others. Ask for forgiveness, forgive others. What's the third thing? Renounce, which what means what? Break agreement with the lies of the enemy. I am not going to agree with you, Satan, anymore that I am secure and I'm a failure. That is not God's purpose. God said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am filled with a power of love and a sound mind. I'm going to agree with that. I break that right now. I cast you out of my life. Go. And now, Lord, I receive from you. Last one, receive. We're going to receive freedom and healing and wholeness in Christ. Okay, so as we do this, as we've talked about this, ask yourself, Lord, do I have any of the residue of this 2 Timothy 3 thing in my heart? Ask him, what kind of filters do I have? As I've been talking, I know this because I prayed this, that the Holy Spirit would literally start speaking to each one of you. What did he speak? What did he say to your heart? Bring those things right now to the Lord. Let's just get free. Let's forget about all this stuff of being hindered and slavery, and let's just be free. Let's be set free and walk in the newness of Christ. And then we're going to, after we just process with the Lord, we're going to have the elders and the life group leaders come up here, and we're just going to agree with you in prayer and say, it is finished, it is done. Two or more agreeing in prayer, it is going to be done. We believe our prayers are answered. God is moving. Holy Spirit is here, and he is like, I'm on standby. That's what they called him, standby. Holy Spirit, standby. I'm right here. I'm everywhere, every person's heart, ready to move if they'll just say, come, Holy Spirit. I'm there to guide, to teach, to set free. Come on, let's just begin to respond to God here. You don't need any coaching. I couldn't coach you anyway, but by the Holy Spirit. And so today, what has the Holy Spirit spoken to your heart? Some of you may not know Jesus. This is the perfect opportunity for you to say, wait a minute, I don't have the Holy Spirit. Oh no, what do I do? Well, you ask for salvation, because the Bible says when he came to die on the cross because one sin and you're guilty of all. One lie, one sin, one anything short of hitting the mark, you are doomed and guilty of all sin. Christ said, if you come, I've given my life on the cross. I've shed my blood. My body's been broken for you. It's a free gift, nothing to do with you. Will you receive it? And then you believe and say, I receive your free gift. Lord, wash my heart free from all my sins and wrongdoings, that my righteousness will be in you. He rose from the dead with the power to conquer all wickedness. He's there now. He gives you the Spirit upon your salvation, and then he begins to break off every residue of darkness over your life. And if that's you and you don't know the Lord, come forward and just say, I want someone to pray with me. Just pray with me. I want to know Jesus here today. And then he will give you the Spirit, because when we receive the gift of salvation, we have the opportunity to receive his Spirit living in our hearts and moving and working in our behalf. Holy Spirit, stand by. Come on, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you today. Lord, right now, all over the room, I pray you reveal filters. You reveal things of the past. You reveal dependency on self. You reveal addictions and places where there's residue of those addictions. Lord, that you'd reveal all these things, that there'd be freedom released in this place, Lord. I thank you for lies being broken of the enemy. over people's hearts and their minds, Father God. Lord, heal hearts. Come on, just respond to God now. You're on your own here till you come up for prayer.
Okay, so I just, on my drive here to church today, I heard the Holy Spirit. I had an experience last night, and I heard the Lord just say to me, it was a word of knowledge as I was driving here, and so that's why I'm sharing it. I believe, and a word of knowledge in the Bible is where the Holy Spirit will speak to you regarding what's happening in the body, and I feel like I need to just release what I experienced last night. And it has so much to do with what Sean is speaking about with filters. And as I was asleep, before I went to sleep, I just began praying for the service today. And I woke up out of my sleep and I literally felt like this. It felt like a spirit, like on my eyes. It like, and when he keeps saying filters, I believe it was like a spirit, and I had a gift of discerning of spirits in that moment. And as I woke up, I heard my son wake up out of his sleep, and he was walking around in like a lucid delusional dream, and Josiah had to snap him out of it. But I had the same experience. I believe it was like a spirit of delusion and confusion, and I just began to rebuke it. And this morning, I began rebuking it, and I felt the Lord said, this is literally a spirit. It's a that's coming as a filter over our mind to cloud our minds from the things of the Holy Spirit. So I want to just release that today and say that the Lord wants us to be free of every spirit of delusion and confusion that separates us. It's like a veil that keeps us from the power of the Holy Spirit that Sean's speaking about. And even right now, if you can feel you've experienced confusion or this muddledness, this cloudiness, just stand to your feet and lift your hands. And right now, I just want to rebuke every spirit that would come on our minds. The Bible says, Paul prayed that the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Jesus Christ would come and enlighten the eyes of our heart, that we would know what is the length, the width, the depth, the height of the knowledge of God. As a church, we'd be full to the brim with the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So as your church, God, we take authority over every spirit that would come and try and separate us from the true spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of Jesus. Amen.
Listen, Crystal, stay up here and just go right over here if you would. And Monique, you want to come stand with her too? And if you just, I challenge those of you who stood up, at some point, once you just feel like you've responded to the Lord, just make your way over here and let them just pray for you and just release healing. Do you want to also?
So we know that there is an enemy who wants to keep us with the wrong view of life and what's happening around us. And there's a circle that the enemy uses. I need to point out, God's pushing me to say it today. So the example, dogs. If I get bit by a dog, I see all dogs, any dog, my association with, oh, there's fear. And the thought is, all dogs are going to hurt me. Well, the enemy comes in and says, look, you looked at that dog and you felt the feeling of fear. That feeling is real. Adrenaline pumps. That's real. Is the thought correct that that dog is one that's going to bite me? Maybe, but maybe not. But the enemy says, listen, you felt the feeling. That means this is reality. Feelings don't necessarily confirm reality. But the Lord will come in when we ask. How about this one? I feel I'm unlovable. Nobody loves me. And so the thought, I'm unlovable, what does it lead to? Oh, feeling down and depressed. And of course, if I'm down and depressed, people don't tend to come and love on me. So, oh, look, I feel depressed. The world around me is saying, see, I'm unlovable. But that's not the truth. But the enemy says, listen, you feel that feeling. If you're feeling the feeling, it must be true. Take the feelings. As Sean said, be aware of them. We've got to be aware of the feelings, but then bring them. Don't let them be the thing that tells you this is the reality. Let the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit come in and tell you what is the reality. The feelings are useful, but they are not to be confirmation of anything. They're flags, and that's all. So, amen.
Amen. Awesome. Listen, let's respond to God. There's the four R's. There's people up here. Come, life group leaders and elders, come. Let's just receive people in prayer. Let's agree. Let's believe God to do supernatural things. Transform us. Holy Spirit, come.